Welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. You don't have to be a Mother Teresa to make an impact on the world. Sometimes the small acts and achievements can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh. Sometimes they may make you cry. And they will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing the fabulous and really stunningly beautiful, because I'm sitting here looking at her, Carol Akiwumi. Carol is a consultant, trainer, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker with a passion for truth, diversity, and stewardship. With a background in financial services and the third sector, she is the chair of the Black Fundraisers UK and the founder of Money for Youth, a financial literacy programme for children and young people. A fellow and trustee of the UK Institute of Fundraising, Carol works with individuals and organisations to create and deliver effective fundraising, diversity and financial management solutions. As a speaker and trainer, Carol is able to inspire her listeners with her wealth of knowledge and infectious energy. And talking about infectious energy, I feel hugely privileged to have you here today, Carol, to interview you, because I know you're off to China for a couple of weeks on Sunday. Right. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for asking me.
It's just wonderful. We met a few weeks ago, didn't we? A mutual person that we know, the fabulous Lola, and her 50th birthday celebrations. Mm-hmm. And just some people, when you meet them, you just think, that is a really interesting woman. I want to find out more about her background, what she's about, what makes her tick, and who she is. And that's how I felt when I met you.
Thank you.
Know, you got my attention immediately. I thought, this is a really interesting woman. So tell us a bit more about you. Tell us about where you've come from and what's led you to where you are today.
Interesting. So I grew up in Africa, West Africa, actually. Although I spent a little bit of my childhood in America and then the UK, and started off, in financial services, investment banking, actually, to be precise. And I remember one day rushing home at about 8 p.m. And this would have been early. My first child was probably a toddler, maybe a few years, maybe five, six, can't remember really. And a friend of mine used to pick her up from school. And I remember rushing home and thinking, I'm tired. I'm running ragged. And someone else is raising my child.
Gosh.
And it got me thinking, and I thought, I don't really want to spend the rest of my life like this. No amount of money is worth this. And you know, the interesting thing was, because I'm a person of faith, I started praying, and the only thing I could say, because I can't do long prayers, the only thing I could say was, God, please help me find a job in my backyard.
That's a good prayer.
Well, it was the only thing I probably had the energy to say.
Succinct and to the point.
You know what I'm saying? Not wasting his time, not wasting mine.
I love it.
It was weird because it was a half prayer, half wish. Not long after that, actually, I picked up my local paper because I was living in Hendon at the time. Picked up my local paper, looked in it, and found a position for sales and marketing with an IT software, business software solutions company that was not far from where I lived.
Gosh.
Well, I mean, I didn't hold my breath. I thought, well, it's a long shot. I don't exactly have, direct sales and marketing experience, but I have looked after enough wealthy people and managed to convince them to invest in all sorts of solutions. So I think I can do this. I've got transferable skills.
Yep.
So I put in for it. And I got the job. That was interesting.
Fantastic.
It was weird because the consultant who interviewed me, I remember, we kind of formed a very good relationship after that, and he mentored me. And I remember asking him about that position just out of interest, because it kind of occurred to me that, if God was listening, he certainly was that day to me.
Yeah.
And he answered. And this was just too good to be true. And I asked him, why would you advertise for that kind of role in this area? Because it's the suburbs, you don't really get. And why in the local paper? And he said, well, I thought that the best person we could get will need to be somebody who lived locally. Then we wouldn't need have the problems of people traveling from a great distance.
Oh my gosh. How amazing.
How amazing.
But he was having the same, a similar thought to yours.
A similar thought.
And then these things just came together.
Connected.
Wow.
I mean, I was just amazed. And of course, I keep saying this. It's interesting, but I keep saying this. Somehow, I really honestly believe in divine providence, because that job kind of set me up for a lot of things that happened subsequently in my life. I was in that job when, you know, at the turn of the century, I lost my first husband. He died of cancer.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But it was amazing to have a job that wasn't too far from home, because I could cut my hours and pick my kids up from school.
Oh my goodness.
I needed to be there as they came out of school, because I reckoned, well, I'm now mom and dad. Somebody's,
yeah.
I can't
wow.
like send them off to after school, whatever, and be working these late hours. So I needed to be there. And the job was like a family. You know, beyond that, eventually my chief executive, you know, let me work from home, set me up to work from home. And honestly, I don't know if I wasn't in that, in a place like that, what I would have done when all those other life events happened. Obviously, I've moved away from the private sector now. I do a lot of work as an independent consultant, mostly in fundraising, business development. And I do a lot of training in the UK and overseas as well, you know, just training people, speaking to people, impacting them with the knowledge that I have, not only in business, but also in fundraising, philanthropy, stewardship, those sort of things. So, yeah.
Really, it's amazing, isn't it, when we look back on our lives and when certain things happen and we don't realize in that moment the enormous impact they are going to have on our future.
Yeah.
And it's only when we reflect back and do a retrospective of our life, we think, oh my goodness, now I understand why this happened, why that happened, because suddenly you see all the bits of the jigsaw coming together and creating the whole picture.
Exactly.
And it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it's just about being, I like to live my life like a AAA battery. I try and stay alert, awake and aware. This is my mantra.
Okay.
And when you stay alert,
that's
awake and
one.
Aware,
uh-huh.
and you kind of then see opportunities and you just go with things. So, you know, you're putting out that thought, that prayer, and then because you'd put that out there, you know, your conscious mind is then open to seeing that advert.
But even checking, because you see, here's the thing. I think that faith without works is dead.
Well, faith without words are just dreams.
Works. Yeah. There is no,
you've got to make
like
it tangible.
Yeah, it's like
you?
A body without breath.
Yeah.
So I wanted a local job. The obvious place to look would be in the local paper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I used to troll through that thing. I remember. Because I really did. I was just tired of the commuting and getting late, you know, constantly apologizing for somebody else doing my, you know, my job, what I thought, raising my daughter, you know, at the time. So,
And it's the power of intention, is it? The power of intention,
yes.
Prayer is incredibly powerful, but actually just to have that without taking appropriate action keeps it up in the ether and it doesn't ground it.
That's right.
So, you know, you had that prayer, but you took appropriate action by getting the local paper and looking through the job pages.
Yeah.
And it's when you get the combination of both that that life becomes incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So how did you get from that position to being independent and the Black Fundraisers UK? Tell me, and the chair, how did that happen?
Okay, so fast forward some 7 years or something. I kind of got tired of what I was doing. And with all of these life experiences, I was beginning to think there must be more to life, you know. And I think a lot of people go through that when they have a traumatic experience. They begin to question their existence. You have all these existential questions, as I did. And I really wanted something more. I wanted to, and I, okay, so there were two things. I felt I was capable of much more, but I wanted something more as well.
Okay.
So I quit my job and decided to go do another master's. But whilst I was doing that, within a few months, I felt very restless. I felt like, no, I really enjoyed working. You know, not to mention the fact that, you know what, I could do with some extra money. Yeah. So I started job hunting. But for some strange reason, I couldn't go back to what I was doing before. All the things that I had experience of. So whether it was, you know, iBanking or whether it was sales and marketing, I just couldn't do that.
Okay.
And then I stumbled upon the most incredible thing. It was this website called charityjob.co.uk. Okay. First of all, now this is funny because I didn't know that there were charity jobs. I thought charity you did for free.
Okay,
you
gosh.
Know what I mean? So for somebody, I thought that's innovative. You know, somebody putting this together, and I suppose back then it might have been. So stumbled upon it and kind of started looking through. I kept being attracted to things in the voluntary sector. So, you know, working for a non-profit or a charity, I just kept being attracted to that because I thought, yeah, I'd love to make a difference. I'd love to do something, you know, that changes the world, as you would, you know, make your mark now before your mortal self goes.
Absolutely. You know? Create your own ripples.
You know what I'm saying? So, did that, and I saw a particular job which I quite liked the look of. It was to start something, a new initiative with an international development organization. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll apply for that. It looks really interesting. You know, the weird thing was throughout that process, by this time I'd remarried, and my second husband, my current husband, was saying to me, sweetheart, if you're serious about trying to find a job, shouldn't you be looking where your skills are? And I was like, yeah, but I don't really fancy going back to the same thing. So started looking, and I saw this job and applied for it. The organization came back to me and said, we don't think you're right for this.
Okay.
At least we found somebody else to do this, but we like your skill set and we think you'll be better suited to this.
Fantastic.
That was
very forward thinking of them.
Look, I tell you, you know, there are organizations, there are HR managers, and there are HR managers.
Yep.
So for somebody to think, whoa, we have a need in this area, we like this candidate, they're great, we've appointed somebody else for this, but we want to hold on to them. And so they encouraged me to apply for this other
Fantastic.
Thing.
Fantastic.
When the job description came through, I kid you not, I read it. And then I read it again. And then I showed it to my husband and I said, sweetie, somebody wants to pay me for what I'm doing for free.
Was that a light bulb moment?
I think I was in disbelief. Because, so here's the thing, in my spare time, everyone has hobbies and stuff.
Sure.
I've always enjoyed teaching and training, speaking to people, encouraging them. You know, and I love doing presentations and stuff. So all of the things that I kind of did in my spare time for fun were all incorporated in this job. And it was covering a whole region. So there was a bit of travel involved. And I love traveling. I love meeting people. And all of that stuff.
So people are going to pay you money.
Yes, exactly. You know, I think they could have asked me to do this thing for free and I would have happily, because, you know, that would have kept me happy. But they wanted to pay me to do it.
Wow.
It was unreal. So that was my first foray into that world, working for a nonprofit as what we would describe as a regional manager. So I covered London and the home counties. Fast forward a few years, you know, I left the place and worked with several other organizations, charities, as head of fundraising, you know, fundraising manager, just senior roles, until I was approached by an international fundraising consultancy to become an associate. And that was my first foray into consultancy,
right,
which I quite liked. I liked the flexibility of being able to do your own thing. And yeah, I've been consulting since then. In my spare time, I joined the Black Fundraisers UK, which is part of the Institute of Fundraising.
Okay.
Yeah, and became chair of that after a year, and I've been chair now for about 3 years. This year was elected as a trustee of the Institute of Fundraising, so which again took me by surprise that anybody would vote for me, because I'm thinking, oh, okay, some people notice that you're actually doing a great job, or they think. Yeah, so that's how I got here.
Like, it's amazing. Been amazing.
Yeah, I know. Incredible. Sometimes I pinch myself and I can't really believe, you know.
But you've created it though, haven't you? You've seen the opportunities.
I have seen the opportunities. I've gone for them because, you know, for me, yeah. I like the idea of going for broke.
Mm.
The worst thing is people will say no.
Mm.
And I've always been very quick at putting up my hand. If, yeah. You know, I learned something, and I can't remember who said this. I think it might have been Richard Branson.
Mm-hmm.
Says, if somebody offers you something that you like, even if you can't do it, say yes and then go find out how.
Well, that's been my philosophy in yeah. life. I say yes to everything and figure out the details later.
Now, that's good. I don't say yes to everything, mind you. You know, sometimes I have to say, can I think about it? And then, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sometimes that hasn't always worked. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can be a little bit too impulsive.
Yeah.
But I would rather say, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then go away and panic. Take a deep breath and yeah. then figure out the details.
Yeah, if I like the sound of it. And,
yeah, if you like the sound of it, go for it.
Definitely, for sure.
So it is going back, isn't it? So having that thought, mm. pinning it out there, but then taking positive action.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, something you just said, which struck me as really interesting, and I just want to ask you if you think it's a gender thing.
Right.
When you were voted as chair,
yeah.
it took you by surprise.
Oh, no, not chair. Chair I definitely went for, okay. of Black Fundraisers UK.
Right.
But now the bigger body, the Institute of Fundraising.
Right.
Yeah. As a trustee.
As a trustee.
Yeah.
It took you by surprise that people yeah. had noticed you were doing a good job. Do you think that's a gender thing? Because I get a lot of women who quite often are surprised when they get noticed for doing a good job. Because we're, as a group, women, regardless of where we come from and our background, tend to hold ourselves back slightly more rather than the man who will go out and promote himself.
Yeah.
And this is a very generalized view because you get the same in both genders, but as a general thing, men are usually better at promoting themselves and have more of an expectation that promotion will get recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women, oh really?
Mm-hmm.
You think I can do that? Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think that's a gender thing?
I think it's partly gender, certainly, because if a woman is too forward, you know, she's considered bossy and, you know, all of those words that are applied to women. I also have, for me, there's a double barrel thing working there. It's a diversity thing as well.
Is it?
It's partly, it's certainly for the Institute of Fundraising, which is very diverse. Fundraising in the UK is still very much middle class, mostly old boys club, old white men at the very top.
Right.
There are lots of women, but they're not in senior positions.
Yeah.
So when I saw the number of people who were on the list that people needed to be voted for, and there were only 3 places. Now there were 2 people I knew would get on it, just automatically would be voted on. You know, one of them is a man who's probably like the face of fundraising. Everyone knows him. This is probably his second stint. He's helped set it up. He's now come back in his 60s or 70s.
Gosh.
Or I don't know how. It was clear. I mean, I knew people who were campaigning for him, you know, even though they weren't supposed to. So for me, from that whole list of people, I was the only Black person, you know, a woman. Yeah, there were those 2 things. But I thought, again, sure, go for it. Why not? You know, and I did it because a couple of people had approached me and given me the confidence to do it. And I thought, yeah, I might as well go add a bit of diversity to the board. Why not?
Why not, indeed? Double dose of diversity.
So,
go for it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you said. If a woman pushes herself forward, she can be seen as bossy and a bit pushy. Mm-hmm. I still think there's a lot of work to do around changing that unconscious bias.
Yeah.
Because sometimes even women can think women who push themselves forward are bossy. So if we're thinking about ourselves, you know, we really need to do some work to change that, actually. That actually put it, promoting ourselves and actually just knowing how good we are, knowing our value, our worth, our power, isn't wrong. It's okay, because by owning it and then going out and stepping into it and embracing it, what we're doing is actually encouraging and empowering other women to do the same.
Yeah.
And men, of course, we're empowering everybody to do the same.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that that is still kind of lurking in the background, isn't it? That it's not what women do.
It's true.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think our greatest champions are men, not women. And that's so sad.
I agree with you.
I think about my whole life, my career.
Yeah.
The people who've opposed me the most have been women. And you wonder why.
Oh, Carol, we've only got 5 minutes left. Well, I could so interview you. We need to have another interview.
I tell you, because I've got some theories, but
me too. Yeah. We need to talk about that further. Because it's a big thing that needs to go out there. It needs to go out there with women, actually.
You're right. That's unconscious bias.
We hold ourselves back sometimes.
The way we describe other women is interesting.
It's shocking.
It's shocking.
It is shocking.
Yeah.
So where is Carol going? Apart from to China on Sunday, where else are you going? What does the future hold for you?
Well, I'd make a lot of money if I knew that. The thing is, my latest project, which is Money for Youth, is one I'm quite passionate about. So apart from training people on fundraising, I'm really passionate about young people and teaching them financial literacy.
Mm.
And at the moment, I'm really developing that. That came from a life-changing moment for me, how I got on the path. And I suppose we don't really have time to go into that today.
Briefly, can you tell us what that
is? I'd just been fired from a job.
Right.
Interestingly. And was about to start a contract somewhere, which ended up being the most amazing thing I ever did. And so in between those 4 to 6 weeks or something, I was bored and decided to pilot something that had been on my heart for a while. Applied to an innovation bank, got the money, and the rest is history.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've had a few people quite interested in Money for Youth right now, so we're developing that. I get a lot of invitations overseas to come teach it, because, you know, I mean, in the West, we're so privileged. We have all sorts of resources available, but it's not the same in you know, developing countries.
Absolutely.
And that's where my heart really is. I'd love to take this thing, you know, develop it in such a way that it can empower people, because I reckon that if you give people the tools to be successful, and financial literacy, you know, underpins every successful entrepreneurial initiative, if you give people the tools, then there's less of a less pressure to do the wrong thing, you know, like to steal, swindle people, or even for women and girls, you know, to be more confident, because they're the ones who mostly provide for their families. So I'd love to really, that's the one thing that I hope I'll have enough time, you know, to be able to take as far as possible. So that's my latest project.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And knowing you, having met you a few times now, you will do that, because your energy, your enthusiasm, the fire in your belly is so strong. And you've put it out there. You know, you've now recorded it. It's going out across the world by the internet.
Can I tell people how to contact me if they need to?
Please do.
Okay, so I'm on social media as Amiki Carol, A-M-I, C-K-Y, Carol, all one word, Amiki Carol. Or you can just check Money for Youth. So that's Money, number 4, Youth, you know, as in youngpeople.com. The website is still, it's there. There's something there, but that's going to be revamped.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Or people can just look me up, Carol at carolakiwumi.com.
Brilliant.
And if you can spell Akiwumi, you get a medal.
Well, all those details will be on your bio, which will go up when the show goes out. So that'll be absolutely fair. Thank you, Carol. It's been a joy. Always is a joy. And I'm so having you back to talk about how women get in the way of women.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
So this has been Katie Day, the High Heeled Leader, with Creating Ripples, the programme where women are showcased as the fabulous, amazing and awesome human beings we are. Coming up in future weeks, we have amazing stories from Japan, India and Bangladesh, as well as many more, including Elaine, who at 56 completely reinvented herself as a makeup artist. So that's coming up in a few weeks. So be sure to listen in, get inspired, and start to create your own ripples.